I'm going to tell a little bit, kind of intertwine my story and what was going on with me with some things that have been on my mind for the last couple of weeks. In fact, kind of the subject of what I wanted to talk about last week, and you know, obviously that didn't happen. But how many of you were here 2 weeks ago when David and Patty Lagi were here? Okay, quite a few. There was a tremendous anointing on them, and even if you look at their history and things like that, you know, they've just got a lot of documented healings that has happened. I know several of you were touched last week. I know Amy actually came in with lots of pain and left out better than she came in, didn't you? Yeah, you did. But I've been wrestling with something. And I'm going to be, I guess, a little transparent with you this morning. I'm thankful for the healings that have taken place. But I'm wrestling with the fact that John's sight has not come back. And I just want to kind of go through what the Lord has taken me through in thinking about this and wrestling with it with Him. You know, maybe none of you questioned why it hadn't happened. Maybe you have. I'm sure John has. John and I have talked. See, I believe that he's been healed because God's word says by his stripes we were healed. I believe that. And then when the pain that started Saturday afternoon that I had continued through the night and I rebuked it over and over and over again, it didn't go away. And I questioned why, which I think most of us, if we're honest, will say we do that. We question why. I mean, I wanted so badly, even whenever I kind of woke up Sunday morning, I mean, I knew Jamie Grace was going to be dedicated. I wanted to be here for that. And I just wanted to be here, but I couldn't. And I just, you know, I'm so thankful to Tom, and they're out of town this weekend, but I just want to publicly thank him for just grabbing the reins and going with it and telling me, hey, don't worry about it, get better, we'll handle it. That's a friend. None of what I wanted was working out. And then questions that arose when we finally got to the office, to the doctor's office Sunday morning. My blood pressure was up. Gotten tests back, and some of the tests are elevated with not necessarily what was happening with me last weekend, but PSA, and guys, you know what the PSA test is. It was elevated, and my dad and my brother have had prostate cancer, you know, and so all those things are kind of going on, but yet there was no sign of infection. They did a culture. There was nothing came back. Everything was clear. There was no bacteria there. And I'm thinking, hello, there's got to be a cause, right? I wonder what the cause is. I wonder what's going on. I look for a reason. Why? You know, why is this happening? Instead of just saying, okay, God, you just healed me. And I'm thankful because I know that he did. Then as I was waking, well, I really wasn't waking up because I hadn't slept last Saturday night, Sunday morning. I mean, I'm thinking, we start looking for things. I'm thinking, okay, the message that I prepared ain't what you want this morning, you know. And you start questioning so many things. Or, you know, you've done this or hadn't done that or those kind of things. And all those things just go through our thoughts over and over and over again. And, you know, and it kind of consumes us. I don't think puts us in a very good place when that's going on. See, our perception of what happened or is happening takes our thoughts down many, many different roads. a lot of them are not good. We kind of seem to always need to find the reason why something happened or didn't happen. But here's the word that God gave me this week. Trust me. Trust me. My answer was, I thought I did. But he said, you've got to get to a place that you unequivocally trust him and not put reasoning first. That's a pretty big mouthful. Because I think we're taught to try to reason, try to figure things out, try to make corrections and those kind of things. I heard Bill Johnson say this right recently. He said that fear will influence what you worship. And you worship what you trust. Think about that one a minute. Fear will influence what you worship, and you worship what you trust. I mean, we can come in here, sing great songs, worship everybody, just, you know, have a great time and walk out the door and something bad happens and all of a sudden our thought goes from, God, what's happening here, to what I did wrong. How can I check this? And, you know, we just begin to jump from one subject to the other trying to figure out what in the world's going on. But God's looking for our complete, sold-out, unwavering trust in him. I know that if I asked you guys this morning, do you trust him? I think everybody would say yes. But we're in a crisis, or there's a delay in answers that we're looking for. There's an immediate rising up of all kind of stuff that really causes us to miss God because we're not necessarily looking for what God is doing or saying in the moment. We're trusting our own reasoning. But see, God's promises are yes and amen. Proverbs 3, you know it well, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's a great verse, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It means to trust him completely from a place of absolute surrender. Not a place of question or reasoning. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't add your own opinion or perception to it. See, because our opinion and our perception is weak and misguided most of the time. Your perception will undermine God. It must be given to us by God. Oh, but I'm entitled to an opinion. Yeah, but let me ask you this. You want your opinion, you want God's opinion? Yeah. Which one's better there? Isaiah 55:8, again, one that we're very familiar with, says, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I've wrestled with this one a little bit too. Because in 2 Corinthians 2:6, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. See, I believe that Isaiah is saying our human thoughts are not God's thoughts. They're not heavenly, but are earthly, selfish, and self-seeking. But once we get born again and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we have the ability to have the mind of Christ. We were talking with Marshall and Rachel last night, talking about the renewed mind and those kind of things. If you look at one point that our thoughts are not your thoughts, but yet we have the mind of Christ, somewhere that's got to come together, don't you think? He wants us to have his mind. He wants our thoughts to be his thoughts. And we have that ability to do that. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of the world, the human way of thinking, your natural reasoning process, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we get the mind of Christ. Until we have the mind of Christ, we are not to lean on our own understanding. Because our understanding falls short. It's not there. It's not what God has for us. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge. The Hebrew word is yada. Now, if you know Carrie Godwin, you've heard Carrie Godwin talk about yada many times. And it's more than just a yes. It's more than just a, hey, Cindy. Yada is so much more than that. Some of you know this. But you look it up, it says, it's sharing love. The first example of yada can be found in Genesis, the first book of the Hebrew Torah. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. Adam yada'd Eve, and they had a baby. It says Cain yada'd his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Adam yada'd his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's just not saying, okay, God, yeah, I know you're here, God. I know you're here. I know you're with me. It's much more of an intimate time than that. In all your ways, yada him. That means trusting that he knows everything and the plans and what will come out of what you are experiencing. He knows. He knows. See, Saturday night, I didn't know what was going on. John's healing, I don't know what's going on. But I can't allow my reasoning or perception to get in front of God's reasoning. And I couldn't do that Saturday night, although you're trying to figure it out, trying to get relief, trying to find something to happen. If he tells me or shows me something I need to do through the blood work, through whatever those kind of things are, then it's up to me to be obedient to what he says. If he shows John something that he needs to do, it's up to John to be obedient to that. But when we start putting our reason in and we're trying to figure it out, we're using a reasoning that is so inferior to his reasoning. And that's why we have got to trust him to show us what's happening in those situations. See, I don't know that I really worried that something was bad wrong. I just knew I was in pain and I wanted relief. But those thoughts began to creep in of as to, oh, what is going on? But, oh, you know what your daddy went through. You know what your brother went through. You know this, that, and the other. You know, we start trying to match it up with something that we have known or some experience in the past. Why do sickness and bad things happen? First of all, John 17:16 says that we're not of this world. But we also know that this is a fallen world that we live in. And then 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's trying to find that foothold. He's trying to find a way to tear him down. And it's clear, it says, resist him and stand firm in faith. Then again, we also got to remember Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans. Some of us would like to have the plan book so we could see what happened. But we don't get that. We just get to trust the Creator every day to walk us through the plan that He has for us. Let me ask you a question. Is God big enough, able to bring about those plans? Wow. Is God big enough and able to bring about the plans that He has for your life? You darn tootin' He is. And we got to know that, and we got to trust Him to bring about those. If we trust in Him, He will. Not our perception of them. And always acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight and take you into your destiny. Nobody wants you to fulfill your destiny more than He does. You know that? Nobody. Maybe our focus should not be on why, but on how God wants to use it. And I really thought about that. Maybe my focus shouldn't be on what caused all this. But okay, God, how do you want to use it? Well, the first thing He did is He took the pain away. We don't need to focus on why John Sight's not back. But how does God want to use this? How does God want to use it? And we got to remember what it says in Genesis. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The message says, don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. Yes, He's out there prowling, looking. He's got plans. He wants to take you down. He wants to take you out, the devil. But God will take those plans and turn them into good. And we have to trust that. I'm definitely convinced that there are things we don't understand. I'm convinced that we live in a world where bad things are going to happen. As much as I would like to be, I am not immune from things. I am convinced that God doesn't cause death, sickness, disease, or blindness. But I am convinced that God will see me through, that if I do my best to not get in the way, He will take me into my destiny. I don't know that I'm answering any questions, but I do believe that we all have them. And if we seek Him, whether He gives us the answer or just keeps taking us forward, we'll be in the best place that we can be. I think it's okay to ask questions. And I think sometimes it's kind of the elephant in the room. I mean, I truly expected John Sight to come back 2 Sundays ago when we were right here, when David was praying over him. And so when it didn't, I'm wondering why, you know? But we got to trust Him. We got to trust Him in what we're doing and what we're going through. Yes, we pray for healing. We expect healing. The Bible instructs us to do it. And we're going to continue to do that. And we're going to continue to pray for John and anybody else that needs healing. But when it doesn't in our timing happen, We can focus on what God wants to do. And that's what our question needs to be. Okay, not so much why it didn't happen, because God wants us healed. The word's just clear of that. I mean, even all of the scriptures that David said 2 weeks ago, it just lines up. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is often called the Hall of Faith chapter. And it says, by faith, Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable than Cain's. By faith, Enoch was taken up that he would not see death, and he was not found. Man, can you imagine if they'd had milk cartons back then, his picture would have been all over it, missing. And it calls me to think, I understand we live in a world that crazy things happen. Wonder if some of the missing that hadn't been found might have been taken up today. See, we want closure, don't we? We want to know. We want to know what happened. We want to know, all the details of it. But if God can take Enoch up, he can take any of us up. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. Again, it was God's thoughts and not Noah's thoughts. I know y'all have probably seen the modern day movie, I don't know the name of it, where the funny guy, what is it? Yeah, the guy that just got elected to a senator and he's, okay, yes, Evan Almighty. Yeah. And God tells him to build an ark in this suburb, kind of thing. I wonder if God told us to build an ark, how many of us would say, what? Couldn't been God, had to be the pizza. Was Noah so in tune with God that when God just said, build an ark, yes, sir? Or do you think he tried to question it or reason it? I think the same thing happens to us. I believe God tells us things sometimes to do, and we just, that's probably not God. But that's where he wants us. He wants us to that place that if he tells us to build an ark, we don't question it. We go buy the wood and do it. It said that in reverent fear, he constructed the ark. Bill's quote, you worship what you trust, and fear influences worship. It's a reverent fear of God that's there that we all should have. And if that's the case, that influences our worship of him. By faith, Abraham obeyed what he was called to go out to a place, when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Again, imagine your opinion, your perception, your reasoning in a situation like this. Okay. Pack it up and go somewhere else, God says. But my family's here. My job's here. My house is here. See, our reasoning gets in the way of us obeying what God tells us sometimes. He heard the call. He heard God's thoughts. And he obeyed those. It says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age. Now, we're so medically smart these days, we just couldn't believe that. I love how it says, this, the translation I read, she herself received power. She received the power to conceive. That's awesome to me that God has got that power there for us. But look at this, verse 13 in Hebrews 11. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The message says it like this: each one of these people of faith died, yet not having it in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transient in this world. I used to kind of wrestle with that one too. You promised it, but they didn't get it? God, you promised it to them, but yet they didn't get it? But the fact that it had not manifested, all of the promises in their life, didn't deter them, didn't hinder their faith, didn't cause them to trust any less in God. It says that they saw it in the distance. They saw it in the distance. The promise is still there. It's out there. I love how it says, and they waved at it like, yeah. You know, ooh, right, there it is. There's that promise God said. It's out there. I hadn't got to it yet, but it's out there. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. There's some healings that we've been praying for that we hadn't seen yet. But I believe that if we'll see them in the distance, if we'll see that they're there, that they're coming, it's done, it's coming, that we're going to see them. Our faith, our trust must be in the Lord, even though we don't see the manifestation of the promise. But he promised by his stripes. I don't understand why, but I try my hardest to stay in a place where I can see what he's doing or will do in those situations. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to stay in that place. We've got to press in. We've got to encourage. We've got to support. We've got to keep praying. And we've got to see those promises being fulfilled. He's a good daddy. And he will not give you stones or snakes when you want bread and fish. So Yada God. Yada God. Be intimate with him. Get to the place that you have the mind of Christ. That his thoughts are your thoughts. That's where he wants you. That's where he wants you. And it's not just a, yeah, God's with me. Yeah, God's my co-pilot, you know. But us more spiritual Christians say, no, he's not our co-pilot, he's our pilot. But to Yada God is to have an intimate relationship with him where the two become one. And that's where he wants us. He wants us to be one with him. That's not a sacrilegious statement. Okay? That's how close he wants us to be. Can I pray? Let's stand together, okay? God, my first thought as I'm praying is that you would not let this turn into a negative, that this would not be a condemnation, but this would be an invitation, a call to come closer to you in an intimate place with you, Lord. Lord, I know we all have jobs, we have responsibilities, we have families, we have kids, we have all kind of things like that. But Lord, that you want to be in the midst of all of that with us. Instead of that being the thing that separates us from that intimacy with you. God, I thank you for John's healing. And we await the day of the manifestation of it. I thank you for Tyler's healings, the nerves in his legs. And we await the day for those to be restored. I thank you for Drew's healing. And we eagerly await the day that he sits up and crawls out of that bed. Lord, there's other things that people here this morning are waiting on. They've cried out to you. They've asked. They've done what they feel like that they know to do. Lord, I just pray right now that your rest would fall on them, that it wouldn't be a striving, that it wouldn't be, okay, what's the next thing? What haven't I done? What I need to do next, Lord? But it would be a place of peace where they can ask, God, what do you want to do with this? Lord, I know I need help in this area. And I think probably many of us do. But I believe my heart's good. I believe that I want what you have for me. And I believe that you know that. And I believe if I'll just trust you, Lord, increase my trust, Lord. Just increase my trust. Help it to be more tangible, maybe. Help it to surface quicker. Instead of waiting until I kind of get in a jam and realize, okay, it's beyond Donnie. It's got to be something else that happens. Lord, we trust in you with all our heart. And we lean not on our own understanding. And Lord, we submit all our ways to you. Make our path straight, Lord. Make our path straight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Yes, come on.
So many things that he was talking about, stuff that I've just been thinking about this week, so I just wanted to share a few things real quick. A couple things. We're trying to attack my body and stuff, and I do what I always do, you know, I pray and stand in faith, and then time goes on, and question. and then I usually go to, you know, all right, what natural remedy could I come up with? You know, I always make concoctions. Brett loves it. I test them on him. And there I was just a few days ago coming up with one of my little concoctions, and it just hit me. And I just said, this is not my God. This concoction is not my God. I've created an idol, you know. When sickness attacks me, I am coming up with, I'm trying to help God out or something. You know, it's like Jesus' work wasn't enough. I got to go create something to make myself better, and that doesn't make sense. And so that was one thing that God was showing me, is that's not your God. I'm your God. And to trust him in that. And the other thing I was thinking about is when you go into battle, you know, the soldiers, they follow their commander. And the commander, if he's a good one, they tell him what to do, and the soldiers do it. And, you know, you don't question your commander when you know it's a good one. And God is a good commander. But what we're missing is that we're not trying to figure out the enemy, to understand the enemy. And who is the enemy? The devil. And when he attacks us, he attacks your body, you know, with ailments and all these things. The Bible says he's a thief, right? He's a criminal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you think about it in that light, the devil's coming and he's attacking your body. And it's like if a criminal were to come into your house, how long are you going to fight that criminal to get him out of your house? Are you going to give up? Are you going to just, okay, well, I guess he's here for good. Guess the sickness is here for good. Instead of continuing to know the authority that you have in Jesus, that Jesus has all authority. The Bible says Jesus has all authority. That means the enemy has no authority. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus lives in us in his fullness. So then we're able to use that authority against the enemy. And if you were a police officer, you put it also in that light, the police officer is going to come in, there's a criminal, and what does the police officer have? He just has the law to back him up. He's nobody special. You know, we're all just people. But because the officer has that authority, just like we have, can use that authority, we're going to keep pursuing that criminal until he gets out, until we lock him up and say, you know, you're done. And then another thing God was showing me as you were speaking was one of the things along those lines is that we have a breaking point and we quit, you know. And I always see that for myself as like a really bad thing, you know. You're just like, I quit again. I gave up. But then I started looking at it from the eyes of a marathon runner, you know, and they go to run that race or to practice, you know, and if when they practice, they can't reach the goal of the marathon that they have ahead of them. They don't look at it as a failure, but as a conditioning. And the same thing applies with when we're trying to attack a sickness or we're trying to command it, rebuke it, and we fail, but next time, we'll get a little further, you know. Next time we'll push in a little bit more, and then finally we'll get those results that we're wanting. So anyway, that's it.
Good way. John, come here. I want us to pray over you. Anybody else that needs a healing this morning?
Can I say one word?
One?
No, you're not.
Yeah, you would tell the truth here now.
When I was dancing back there, the Lord says that he's going to do a new thing. I'm going to take it. I don't know about y'all, but if it fits you, you know, you ought to get on it. The other thing is, this might be just for some. Some already might have their house built, but the Lord told me that he is going to build a new house, and he is going to establish himself. And that's just for those that eat of the meat and willing to step into faith, and that's got to do with healing and where we at with God. Are we going to muster up?
Amen.
Just want to be obedient. This morning in prayer, I heard a word. I had no idea what it meant, and I still don't. But the word was, it is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. And I think that this is what it is, that God is going to be doing things. Healings are going to come, and that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm feeling led to pray for.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So let's just extend our hand towards John, okay?
All right. And 2 weeks ago, I was in the Bahamas, so I wasn't here. But we prayed. We went into the city, and we did some ministry. And there was a man there, and the Lord said, I want you to prophesy to him that he is going to, I'm going to take 20 years. He didn't know the Lord. So when he received the Lord said, tell him that I'm going to take 20 years off his life, that unforgiveness is just going to melt away, and I'm going to take years off his life. And I was like, okay, so I prophesied and said, the Lord's going to take 20 years off your life. Well, I have to tell you, I became shocked because he was a bald-headed man, kind of lived in like a hut area, and the Lord said that he was going to restore the man's land and everything, so I can't wait to go back and see what happens with that. But as I was praying for him, wrinkles came off his face. His skin became lighter and lighter. His bald head, it reminded me of my son's little Play-Doh that you stick the Play-Doh up in and the hair grows. I kid you not. Thank goodness I had a witness right there. We watched his bald head grow white hairs. His whole head became filled in with short white hair. You would have never known he was bald 10 minutes before. And I was just in shock. I started weeping because I felt the Father's love for him. I don't cry easily. I just kind of hold it in and try to be the strong one. But I melted right there under the Spirit because I could see what he was doing. The other thing I want to tell you is that he could barely see. He had what you could see, cataracts. His whole eyes were cloudy. And so we prayed over his eyes, and he began to see. Healing came. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm coming up here because I know that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. My faith is sky high, but we'll just see. But when you've seen it before, it's like, well, why wouldn't he do it today? So he's a good God. So, Amy, will you just come play? Thank you to worship team. This was amazing this morning. There was almost like a portal in the back. I wanted to say, come here, come here. Heaven was just, it's always open, but still, you could just feel such an anointing back there from, so worship, whoever wants to come up, I just want to worship him, give him the praise and the glory for what's due. So we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for John. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be still, listen to the Spirit. By him, that you're one of his favorites. And he says one of his favorite gifts that he's given you is compassion for people, that you don't judge them, that you just see people as a child of God, and he honors that. The Lord says he's about to bless you with spiritual eyes to see. And that's where the enemies come against, because God's going to give you an ability to see in the spirit realm even greater things, to call out gifts, to change things by your words, to be able to prophesy things. He's bringing you up to another level. And so we say to the enemy, you cannot have him. That this was just a nasty joke that you've played on him. And we bind your efforts in Jesus' name. We remind you that John is a beloved child of the King, that he has destiny written all over him, that he was meant for more, and that you can no longer hold him back. And so as a community, as his family of God, we come together and we tell you that you have to stop trespassing on this man. Anything that's been spoken of him, any curse, we break it by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, you died on the cross to break every curse that's been spoken against him. So we cancel all assignments. We cancel anything that could have come on him generationally. It is not his. So we speak to the eyes and we tell you, we command you to see.
Yes.
In fact, there's a room of body parts in heaven. And that, you know what? He doesn't want to restore these things. He says, go to heaven. We're going to ask, Jesus, we ask you to send the angels. We ask you to send them. Send them to the body parts room. You've promised this for us. So, Donnie, hold your hand out. All right, I want you to wait because they're going to deliver them to you, because this is your thing that you've prayed for, and this is about you. All right, so we're going to wait on the angels. They're coming. And when you feel it in your spirit, Donnie, you'll know. When you feel them there, then we're going to place them on his face and command his body to receive them in Jesus' name. You'll kind of feel a weight in your hand, and you'll know. Okay. All right. We command that John's body receive these new eyes in Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Fully believe. Thank you, God. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you. anything?
I felt like earlier that we are to speak to these eyes, okay? Because the healing's done, and we're speak to these eyes. Eyes line up with the Word of God. Manifest the healing that God, that Jesus paid for on the cross. Manifest the healing right now in Jesus' name.
We continue to speak His destiny in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless him. We speak blessings over his life, over his family, over his destiny. And we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. I want to just go in peace and expectation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll see it over like the course of 3 days. I had a man come back to me after 3 days, and the Lord had given a brand new leg, and he had no idea at the moment that it happened. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And here's the bottom line of my message this morning. Because it has not instantaneously happened, we cannot let it waver our faith and our trust in God. We continue to trust, we continue to believe, we continue to pray. And I like that word, Sally, that you had. I like that word. It's a good one. It'll come on. It's on.
This week, the Lord was showing me about King Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And, you know, and they wouldn't worship and bow down to him. And he said, well, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his attitude toward them changed, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter. And so they threw them into the furnace with their robes and turbans and other clothes, and they were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, they firmly tied, they fell into the burning furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't these 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, well, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all of those, the royal advisors, the governors, they crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against them, he just goes on to say that they would promote the Lord God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I think the word is, it's kind of like what Donnie was saying. We stand and believe what God's saying. But Lord, if you aren't delivering us this moment the way we're going to learn in our situation where we are, but we believe, yeah, we believe with our whole heart that we're healed, that marriages are restored, that finances are completely there, that people in our families are saved. We believe that, and we believe it's coming, if not this second. And we say, Lord, what are you teaching us in this moment? How do I grow in this moment? What do you want to teach me and help me help others in the moment that I'm in while I'm going through this?
Amen. Good word. Thank you. Don't go looking for whys, but looking for how. God's going to use it and do it. Amen.